exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles.
I'm pointing at the doggy.
Gummy ball.
Pretty awesome.
No worries, I have good footy.
Which part of that was
good? I've got a real problem with that.
Bloody
hello. I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a show hosted by three people who haven't seen each other in a week, and it really feels like our very own, I don't know, reunion of friends. Joel Kasem is my pseudonym, and please allow me the opportunity to introduce my two co-hosts. First up is a woman who landed her light aircraft on Collaroy Beach or Boich for a quick surf. It's Gabby Morris.
Oh, that was a terrible plane.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Ah.
I was just thinking, can you guys, I've forgotten the Friends song. I'll be there. Oh, I got it.
Jeez.
Did anyone watch any of it?
Yep.
Mick did.
Wow.
I watched the whole thing.
And you actually could stand the whole thing.
Oh, I nearly turned it off as soon as I saw James Corden. I was like, I hate that guy. I don't want to watch it anymore. But he wasn't in it too much, so it was okay.
Did you know, fun fact, that the Friends cast still get $20 million every year in royalties from their episodes?
Really?
Yep. Look,
and they got paid.
We might need someone to fact check.
Fact checker.
But I heard that on another radio station.
There are no other radio stations. There's 2SER, and that's it. 107.4.
Were you guys big friends of Friends?
Friends?
No, I wasn't. No, I never really. I mean, I think I'd watched some of it, so I know who the main five people are. But aside from that,
go.
No, there's six, right?
He's trying to be funny.
Yeah,
I didn't even.
Oh, who's that?
Wakey, wakey.
I'll get it. Why is my alarm going off?
I used to like Friends because I used to relate to the dorky guy that Ross was, and he got the hot girl. So I was always like, if I'm dorky like Ross, maybe I can get the hot girl too.
That's cute.
I love the way you think.
And that's embarrassing that you admitted that.
Yes. Yes, it is embarrassing that I did that. But I was a dork. I freely admit that I was a dork when I was young.
Was, past tense.
Exactly. Was, Gabby.
I don't
You
know.
Weren't Gabby.
I think you need to own it. Own it.
I'm not still a dork.
You're not still a dork. I'm not still a dork.
I don't know. I feel like our...
Gabby the bully rises again.
I think we're all dorks. We're hanging out. Like, there's no... Like, it's obvious.
We're radio dorks.
100%.
Yeah.
I think also dorks in other areas as well.
I'm fine with that. I don't care. I'm well aware. Also joining us is... Oh, this doesn't work. Also joining us is a man who didn't. It's Mick Rad. See, if I had done the two
didn't
intros together...
land a plane on Colorado Beach.
Yeah, it would have been better.
Just because I crashed instead. I couldn't land it. I smashed into the trees. Hurt myself.
Ouch.
But I'm all right.
You're thanks, looking great,
thanks
though.
For asking.
And that's the most important thing. How is everyone?
Yeah, good. Not too bad. Although, I had an incident the other day. I was crossing, waiting to cross the road at the lights. I'm right in front of the beep button thing. What do you call that thing? Yep. Like, I'm directly in front of it. Like, there's not much gap between the pole of the button, myself and my dog.
Sure.
And I've been there for, like, 5 minutes.
This
older couple come, walk right up to me, and then she leans in between me and the pole, like, has to brush past me, like, touches me, to then press the button repeatedly.
Right.
And I'm like, you are so rude to think that I wouldn't have done that already. Like... that just belittles me, and then you invade my personal space.
Gabby, do you know how many people walk up to these lights nowadays and just don't push them? And they stand there for 5 minutes, as you did.
That's not, such an not old realizing, person thing to say.
Not realizing that they hadn't pushed the button and going, well, why isn't the traffic stopping?
No.
Because they didn't push the button.
No. Nah.
Especially now when they've got those automatic ones.
Then you ask
ones.
Them. That's the polite thing to do. Have you pressed the button? And you can say, yes, I've pressed it several times.
Not a question, Gabby. Why were you standing so close to the button?
Because it was my button.
Well, I can really see how they've really pushed your
my
buttons.
My niggas are The other thing I guess maybe I'll give her the credit is that maybe she thought that I, you know, there's new ones that you don't have to touch. So you just stand there.
Yes.
But I don't think so. I think she was just a controlling, not very polite person. So
maybe she just has a thing for buttons and likes to push them. Did she cross with you?
She didn't acknowledge. She didn't, you know, what would have been, I would have been fine with that. She looked me in the eye and gave me that look going, I'm going to press the button too.
Wow.
And I would have gone, go
I
for
love
it.
That.
Go for it.
Just like staring
but
at
she,
you while pushing
she,
a button.
She put her back up against me.
Wow.
Put her body on me to press the button. If you're going to engage with me on that level, you may as well engage with me on the eye contact or a verbal level too.
Wow, got the closer relationship now. Did you step back?
No.
You didn't move.
I stood my ground.
Oh, my God.
Good on
I
you.
I didn't have time to. I actually genuinely didn't have time to. She came in out of nowhere.
Right.
Anyway, we got across the road. It was fine.
Phew.
Nick, how are you?
Nothing that exciting happened to me this week. No, I have a pretty quiet week, I guess. Went to the footy, watched my team lose.
Yep.
What else? That's about it, really. That was a low light of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think of a good anecdote to talk about today. No? That's a bit sad, isn't it?
Thanks for giving us the crap one. Joel, let's cut.
Yeah, right. Cut.
Joel? Well, we spoke about this last week. I went to my first ever basketball game. Wait, you're telling me
is
to turn my mic
on?
We're on the sort of show where you can just say it. Just say it while we're talking. My mic is up. I can go
it's
a little
fine.
Bit higher.
It's not loud enough.
Okay,
it's loud enough.
Thanks.
All right.
Computer guy.
I went to the basketball. I went to the Sydney Kings versus Melbourne United game. Mm. Never been to the basketball before. Never been to...
Really?
Never. I don't think I've ever seen anyone play basketball. Ever.
Have you ever played it yourself?
I've thrown a ball toward a hoop, but that's as close as I've got.
Okay.
So it was really, I actually had quite a good time. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it's not, I don't know, have either of you guys been?
Yep.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Cannons.
We are.
Cannons.
Oh, the Canberra Cannons.
Well, I've seen the 76ers. I've talked about this before.
Oh, that's right. You went to the NBA, which is America's NBL.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, like there was so much going on. It was like a big bash game in the cricket. There's just music playing constantly, and there's someone on a microphone constantly yelling out defense for some reason. He's very obsessed with this word.
Did they have the letter D and then a fence?
No.
Defense. Defense.
That's, you really do look like Homer Simpson when you say things like that.
No, I didn't. No, there was none
the
of
face,
that. But
the
I would. I would have liked that. But I took some voice notes, I guess you could call it.
All right.
Oh,
because
you
did some work out there.
I did some workouts.
Excellent.
While I was there.
Work out.
Yeah. And we got to the game and I was like, well, no one really goes to the basketball, do they? I'll just interview some players. No, it's a pretty busy thing and there's a lot of people there. Just mid-game, be like, excuse me, can I talk to you? But no, it didn't work. So anyway, here is Joel at the basketball. Yes, hello. I'm here at a basketball game with my friend Pat. Say hi, Pat.
Hello.
And it is the third quarter. It's Sydney Kings versus Melbourne United. And Melbourne United are losing. Although they were winning most of the first half.
Are you drunk?
It's now 64-52.
Maybe.
And there's 2 minutes left in this quarter, and we've almost worked out what's happening. Pat has just informed me that 2 minutes in this game means 7 minutes. Everyone's booing, and I think that sums up our show. Boo! Across the park. Okay, I'm going to try and call this play. Number 22 has the ball for Sydney Kings. He's passed it to someone whose number I can't say. 22's got the ball again. He's very good, this guy. Casper, we're calling him.
Which is
he's
name.
Had a shot and missed. Disappointing.
Defense! Defense!
And now you'll find we have to defend.
Defense!
Which we didn't.
What a comeback.
Sydney have the ball. Going for a three-pointer. And missed. Okay, there's 5 minutes to go. And Sydney have the ball. They've had a shot for a two-pointer. Oh, it's gone in!
What a shot. All right, Woodstock, turn it down.
The Roos.
74-73 to the Kings.
Ooh.
Ah.
Sailing.
Forget about it. Miraculously, the Sydney Kings won after four quarters and then two overtime halves and 30 hours it took. But the Kings won 100-98 over Melbourne United. The MVPs would have to be the people who come out and clean the floors during the game. You love to see it. Hopefully I can hire them to come to my house. They can just follow me around while I'm eating. Thanks for listening. Back to you in the studio.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I actually, when I put that together, I forgot I put that last bit in. I thought I took that out. So, yeah, it was this super tight game where it finished 84 all after the four quarters. Mm. And then my friend Pat and I are like, what do they do next? Like, what happens in basketball when it's a draw? Because I don't know. And
I don't know
so
either.
They have an overtime of 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And then they played the overtime. It was a draw again. So they had to go into a second overtime.
Whoa.
Somehow the Kings managed to win. And I feel terrible. Like, Melbourne United had a few, do you call them penalties or fouls, where they're like,
fouls,
get
yeah.
to shoot by yeah. themselves?
After you've had five team fouls, then you go to the line for all your team fouls.
Oh, okay. So that's what was happening. And yeah. they had a lot of chances to catch up.
Yeah. Oh.
But the crowd were just giving it to the players.
Exactly.
And they missed every shot. Like, they couldn't catch up.
That's why home crowds are important.
It was such an advantage.
And did everyone behind the post go...
Yeah, everyone was just going crazy.
It's like, you may have seen basketball where...
Yeah, basketball, yeah.
yeah. You've got to put off the person from scoring, like, just by doing anything you can.
Yeah.
They used to have these, like wiggly sort of sticks that they had at the Cannons games, which would make, like it look like a dream behind you.
Oh,
you know?
That's good.
And I don't think it does anything, because if you're a good basketball player, you should get it anyway.
But, yeah, that's true. What if you were, like, behind and you held up, everyone just had, like, hoops? So you're like, oh. Which one am I? And you know your vision's not that good.
Or mirrors. Mirrors.
mirrors.
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it finished 100-98. It was a super close
Whoa.
Game.
That's a cool. fun
Quite enjoyable.
Basketball game.
It really was. I don't
Wait,
think
so
I can
really
get another.
Is it really Melbourne United?
Sorry?
Is it really Melbourne
yeah,
United?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they were called.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
It just sounds like such a football.
Used to be Tigers.
I can see Rowan, he's nodding.
There used to be Melbourne Tigers. And
can confirm.
Used to be like a South Melbourne team as well, and then I think they united and just became Melbourne United.
Yeah.
They just united.
It doesn't sound like a basketball name.
Oh.
No, like a soccer name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're pretty lucky. Like, it's not often it goes double overtime in basketball.
I was getting pretty tired.
You're
I don't know
close.
If I'm lucky. I was very sleepy.
Do we have some basketball news, Australian basketball news?
Absolutely.
Do we?
Should we continue on with that?
Please.
So, did you hear about this top Australian female basketball? She was in the WNBA for just 2 weeks, and she's got taken out.
What do you mean taken out?
Like,
she was shot.
No, she's just been dumped.
Oh.
Yeah. She just played 4 games for Chicago Sky after being picked up.
High pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, that one from the Chicago Sky.
Yeah, she got traded.
She was really so excited when she got drafted in there.
Yeah. So she was at Chicago Sky and traded to the Dallas Wings with an additional draft assets exchange, blah, blah, blah. And then she was waived by Dallas.
Just cut completely.
Do the women's side not have the same names as the men's side?
No, they're all different.
Oh.
Yeah, they're different.
Yeah. In other NBA news, Ben Simmons is playing for the 76ers, your team, Gab. And they've just beat the Washington Wizards in the first round of the playoffs. And Ben Simmons nailed it. He got a triple-double. So his third one ever.
Whoa.
In the postseason. And all the commentators in America were bagging him out because he missed all his free throws in one of the last games.
Mm.
And in this game, not only did he get a triple-double, he got like 5 from 8 free throws. It went pretty well.
Amazing.
That's all pretty hard.
What?
It's hard. It's a hard sport.
Well, free throws are easy, but,
oh,
you know.
Whoa.
That's for Melbourne United, they weren't.
Oh,
I
really?
Don't know. Mick, can you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we have a free throw off? Play some horse?
100%.
All right.
That's just too peak.
We get so competitive, we talk it up,
know,
and we never do anything.
but, yeah, the people that come out and clean the floor, I didn't know that was a thing.
Of
don't see that on TV.
Of course
they
clean the floor.
Do you?
What do you mean? It's sweat and...
Yeah, because as soon as the sweat gets on the floor, it gets really slippery.
Yeah.
It's like just wood. So you've got to like wipe the sweat off.
Oh, I understand it, but I never thought it was a thing. Like, I've seen
concept.
Teen Wolf. I don't remember that in Teen Wolf. Anyway.
Sure. Well, good. Well, congratulations.
I love that that's what you took away. Like, you're sitting there having a beer going,
yeah.
Somebody is cleaning
we were so
the floor.
Excited.
That is
Look at these guys. Look at them go. They're having the
best
time.
Do they have
time.
The, like, the machine, like the one that you ride on?
No, no.
What
they
were
just
they
had...
called? A gazebo? No.
A gazebo?
That's ice hockey. It's a Zamboni.
A Zamboni. You can get a Zamboni that's the waxes the floor.
Oh, okay. But they do that before the game.
Track checker?
Not during the game. Not during the game. Oh, golly.
All right. Well, we don't often have basketball news, so no, that's kind of fun. What else can we move into?
Tennis.
NRL? Tennis. Yeah, let's do a bit of tennis. Oh, crap. I'm just going to have to do it live because I don't have it.
Ellen Perez update.
Yes, there is an Ellen Perez update. As we know, the French Open has hit off in France at the moment. And
yeah. Wait, where is it?
Big controversy this week because Naomi Osaka.
We can get into that.
Pulled out.
In a minute because that's very interesting.
But we're doing Ellen Perez update.
Yes.
She didn't quite qualify for the singles, unfortunately. But as we know, Ellen is a doubles specialist.
Well, we need to talk about why we like Ellen Perez so much.
Oh, well, if we haven't listened to the show ever, then you
congratulations.
Know, we talked to Ellen Perez live on this show when yep. she was in lockdown just before the Australian Open. So we actually had a live professional Australian tennis player on the show. And so now we keep up to date with what she's doing.
Yeah.
As we do with all our guests. Anyway, yes. So she played big game. Doubles match up against Venus Williams and Coco Gauff.
Two of the biggest players.
Well, yeah, two huge. Obviously, Venus Williams, everyone knows she's 40 years old. Coco Gauff's like an up and comer. She's only 17, but really looks
she's
good.
Only 17?
Yeah.
I thought she was 17 like 3 years ago when she first hit the scene.
So, you know, she was like probably 15. So, it's like a 23 year age gap between the two of them. And Venus has never played doubles without Serena.
Oh.
Which was an interesting stat too. Anyway, they lost because Ellen
yes.
won. Ellen and Zheng from China. It's her new partner.
Oh, it's her new partner.
Yeah, new partner. And they won tight game. First game went to a tie break and Williams and Gauff won it. And then Perez won 6-4, 6-3 in the
Whoa,
next two sets.
That's so incredible. Very exciting.
Good on Ellen. Go to the second round. It's paid for the trip there. Good stuff.
But yes, you mentioned Naomi Osaka.
Oh, yeah.
So... if you haven't caught up to date with this, it's... Have you, Gabe?
Yeah.
Okay. So she... Originally, she's at Roland Garros at the French Open. It's got so many different... It's got two names. And she didn't want to do any... well, it's called Roland Garros.
That's the name of the venue.
It's also... I'm telling you, fact checker, please jump in on this one. They also call it Roland Garros. I don't know if they even call it the French Open anymore. Or maybe it's the other way around. Doesn't matter. Naomi Osaka said, I don't want to do any press. I'm not in the right headspace. Can't do it.
Yeah.
She said, look, I know I'm going to get fined. Whatever.
Yeah.
She
I
got
mean,
fined.
She says it's like, she believes the whole situation is like kicking a person while they're down.
Absolutely. Then went, you know what? No, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
She said via Twitter, I'm just not going to do it. I can't play at the French Open / Roland Garros.
And happy to cop the fine.
Yeah. Happy to cop
so you
the
get
fine.
A fine if you don't do any press.
Yeah. Then the dickheads have come out and just giving it to her for saying, oh, you can't do it because of mental health, blah, 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 which is absolute rubbish. Of course she can. It's an illness. It's like having an injury.
Totally.
You know.
Also, it's her prerogative. She can determine. And if she says, I'll take the fine, she's putting that money into mental health institutions.
Yes.
This is a fantastic thing to say.
Yeah.
Look, I'm putting my hand up. I can't cope right now. This is where the money's going and why.
Yeah.
To kick someone again further when they're down, it just proves her point, I think, even more.
Because what people we realise now that is mental health is very important, that people are trying to deal with it as they are in the sport. Whereas in the past, people have ignored it or just thought it was not a real thing.
Yeah.
And then after the sport, that's when shit really hits the fan. So you've got to look after yourself while you can, anytime you need to.
Yeah, and raise those flags.
Now, and so you don't have those issues later on.
Yeah. And I think the thing, there's this element, well, you're a celebrity, you're a professional athlete, this is, you have to do this. That's part of your contract, or that's part of your remit, or that's just part of the choices that you've made to be in this position. I don't agree with that. No. I don't think that that's fair.
It is a very weird thing to say you have to do interviews.
I think it's so weird.
I honestly didn't know that was a thing, that it was in sort of some sort of bylaws.
It's probably part of the thing you sign when you play that tournament.
But it does seem very strange.
She says she has some really lovely relationships with journalists, and they've interviewed when she was young. She just said she can't cope at the moment and she doesn't want to go through that. And I think surely you would just go, yeah, sure, listen to someone when they're saying... I mean, we've seen it before, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
What would have been great if they did this? They said, okay, you have to go to the press conferences, but but no one will ask. If all journalists went and said, we're not going to ask any questions. So she went in there, sat down, went, no questions? Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
But have you ever watched those tennis? They're so painfully awkward. These poor people have just been playing hours and hours of tennis. Then they're like, you seem tired out there. What are the risks of you retiring soon? They really had it against you, didn't you? You're like, are you joking? These questions are also so depressing. I've never seen particularly great tennis press conferences ever. They're fatigued, they're exhausted, they're
after
mentally...
After match interviews are the worst.
They're the worst.
And during match interviews, which I do in the NRL now, even worse. Oh my God.
They are cringeworthy.
They're terrible.
Nobody wants to hear an NRL play talk.
As we're all seasoned sports journalists, I like to agree that we wouldn't put an athlete under that sort of pressure by interviewing them either during a game or directly after a game.
Yeah.
Unless it's tea.
And which I did. Yeah.
You broke your knee. Let's talk about that. But what was ironic, right? Mm. So this happened, and then so Osaka pulled out, right? She pulled out of the French Open. And then that other female tennis player, did you hear about this?
Mm?
She was walking. Sorry. She was walking to go and do the press conference after her match of tennis, and she rolled her ankle so badly that she's now out of the comp. And I was like, if that's not ironic,
I know.
I don't know what is. The poor thing is literally like... And then the news was like, oh, a woman's out from trying to go to the media conference.
They're dangerous, these press conferences.
Ban them.
Poor thing. Like, she really damaged her ankle. She's out of the fresh. She's completely out of the French Open.
That's crazy.
That's so sad.
Mind you, I used to roll my ankle on the footpath too.
But we aren't professionals.
No.
In any sense. In NRL, the Panthers' 30-4 win over the Bulldogs was their 12th straight win this year, making them just the third team in the history of rugby league to start a season with that many wins. What else?
Oh, they got the Tigers this week.
Yeah, so...
Without all the Origin players. What is your estimation here? After we didn't discuss that you wouldn't tip your Tigers last week. I did. They won. Sucked in.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't feel that bad that they would.
But, I mean, this is the unloyal fan over here who doesn't even tip his team when they are probably going to win.
They are not going to beat the Panthers. The Panthers are missing, what, five players through Origin?
It's the best time to play them.
And we will still lose. And it's going to make us look so bad when we lose by, like, 50-0.
Oh, here we go. Worst fan ever, are you?
I'm not. I still support them. I still watch them. Yeah. It's just very difficult. I have to buy a new TV each week when I punch a hole in it. The Canberra Raiders really just...
Yeah, just leave that as a question mark.
They shouldn't
be playing.
That's the thing. Like, they still have a good first half.
Yeah.
They can score some points. Second half, they become the faders.
Yep.
And they can't do anything.
Well,
just go out and play two first halves. So much easier. Origin is coming up on Wednesday. Super close. Yes.
Yep. Sorry.
Steak and Oranges. State of Origin.
Is it really?
It sure is.
Where are we?
And,
we're in June.
Because we had Origin at the end of last season, so it feels like it's a really short time since the last Origin. But we're back to midweek Origin Wednesday, next Wednesday. In bloody Townsville.
Yes. So... I don't know, Gab, if you've heard this.
Nothing.
Okay. So the first game was meant to be played at the MCG.
Mm-hmm.
The second game, a team, Victoria, a team that is not in the State of Origin. The second game was going to be played at Brisbane, I think, in Queensland, and then the third game in Sydney. So that's how it was going to be. Now the first game has been moved due to COVID to Queensland. So everyone in New South Wales is like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Why can't it be here? Why did they get the advantage of two home games?
But the irony is when it's played in Melbourne, it's like a Queensland home game anyway.
That's true.
And so every 2 years they swap over which team loses their home team advantage by playing a game somewhere else, which sucks because this is Queensland versus New South Wales. Why would you play a game in Victoria? No one knows. It's dumb. But it's for the spectacle, I think. They're promoting football in a state that doesn't care.
Yes. Like, when does the AFL start?
Yeah, right.
Is this
the pre-game for the Hawks versus the Pies?
Where are all your posts? You're missing posts. All right. Rowan.
So mean.
Rowan, I feel like due to your Zoom background, you might want to talk a bit of soccer, and I'm happy for you to just Go.
Oh, yeah, just very quickly, the greatest football team to ever be conceived.
The Matildas.
Yeah, the Matildas. They're going really well. But Chelsea Football Club won the Champions League, which was absolutely spectacular, defeating Manchester City.
You look like you're there.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Still there. I'm I'm quarantining in Portugal at the minute because I managed to. No, I wish I did. wish I was over there. But amazing game. They won 1-0.
Was it really an amazing game, Rowan?
Was an amazing game. Very tense. Very tense. I think the obviously amazing story is Chelsea massive underdogs, but more questions asked about Manchester City. They've spent, I think it was something like over €1 billion euros since Pep Guardiola has been in charge.
Still can't win a Champions League. Yep, they've spent a lot of money trying to win, and they still didn't.
What's that in Australian dollars?
Too much.
More billions. There's just too many zeros to count.
Okay, you need an extra. Check.
I need. Yeah, I've tried to Google. It's just.
Can we get a fact checker for
the fact checker? Do you reckon, like, how do you sleep at night? Like, do you feel ethically good about that? No, surely not.
I don't think you have to answer. She answered it for herself.
Mick really did think about that. Feels like it depends. If it was my football team, yes.
Big news, Rowan. Euros start next week too.
Oh, yeah, very keen for the Euros. That's kicking off. I know most of the teams that are announced had some friendlies overnight. Mm. And the Socceroos as well, they're starting back their World Cup qualifying campaign.
That's the first game in like 18 months or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. COVID put everything on hold. So there's a lot of, if you're a football fan, there's a lot of football happening post Premier League and Champions League season, which is exciting.
And I did mention the Matildas. They are also playing a couple of games against Denmark and Sweden. They've named a much stronger team over in Europe, where a lot of them are now. They're just friendlies, just getting used to conditions over there and then getting into Olympics.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask.
But they play Sweden, and Sweden is in their group. So that's a handy little thing. All right, Rowan, any facts? Did we miss anything? Did we stuff anything up through the show?
Pretty good. $20 million from Friends reruns.
Oh,
is that what you said?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
$20 million a year.
Yeah. Well
done. So that radio station that I was listening to was also correct. Nice.
Shyla Heels was the poor Australian basketballer who we were talking about.
Shane Heels' daughter.
We didn't name and shame her.
Yeah, Shane.
Now we have. Poor thing.
French Open, Roland Garros, correct.
Yes.
Also known as. And it was Petra Kvitova, who's the poor tennis player, who injured herself on the way to the press conference.
Isn't that, like, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and straight after Osaka just saying that she's not doing media anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe it was an ankle, her ankle was protesting.
Yep. It's all symbiotic.
Yeah.
Serendipitous.
All right. I guess we've got time for a very quick game.
Uh-oh.
Who wants to do the game?
Here we go. What? Whose wife of what sport and whose man said, don't play for that team, play for this team?
What? Who's made that up? Whose wife of what sport?
No, whose wife of that man?
Yes, that's it. Whose wife of what man?
What man?
And what team said, don't play for that team, play for this team because of online abuse.
Oh. No, I thought possibly, didn't one of the Canberra Raiders?
All right, I'll give you the answer.
Thank you.
The wife of Richmond captain Trent Cotchin says she does not want her husband to return to Melbourne from interstate to help. This is not the...
Oh, sometimes I wonder if our games can get any worse. And I think we've just found our answer. Right
so
there.
She just doesn't want him to play for Essendon. That's the thing.
That's fair.
You can do your own research on that one.
Yeah, do your own research. Just tell them that.
Excuse me, I just came up with a question.
That's true. But I do love the idea of, like, welcome to our show. It's a 30-minute sports show. You just look up sport for 30 minutes. We're just going to city. All right? Do your own work.
All right, talk about it. Pushing buttons.
That's the end of the show. Thanks, everyone. And
bye, Rowan.
Bye, Rowan.
Thank you, Rowan.
Bye, people.
Bye, people.
Bye, everyone.
Stay sporty.
Go, Chelsea.
Bye.
Bye. One more second. Bye. Hello and welcome to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. My name is Patrick Clancy and I will be your only host for this evening. Ruby, good for her. She's on away for a hen's weekend. She left today for that one. And as you may be thinking, wow, it's so lucky that Ruby gets to go on a hen's weekend with this person who's getting married soon. No, she's just spending a weekend away with some chickens. Yes, and she wanted to do it. I said, hey, we need to do a radio show, Ruby. Like, are you sure you can't put this off or, like, leave after? And she was like, no, I have promised these chickens that I will be there for them and I would sooner die than betray their trust. So that's where we're at with our lives. But, yes, sadly, she will not be joining us this evening. But that's okay. I'm here and you can put up with it. So I hope you've all been having a good week. How's your week going? Tell us. Text in now. My number is 0466. I'm not actually gonna. I'm very bad at making up fake phone numbers. Whenever I make up phone numbers, I give out my real phone number. So that's why when I can give you the first four digits, but you have to work out the rest from there. And if you end up texting me from that information, I'll go on a date with you. And you know what? That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. Big month this month. A bit sad Ruby's not here to kick off our Pride month of shows. It is Pride month now. It is June. It is the 4th of June. There have been 4 days of Pride. I hope none of you are getting too proud. Just remember, Pride is a sin, so that will be judged when the end comes. But have some Pride. Have some Pride if you're queer this month. Have some Pride every month. Pride month should be every single day for queer people, you know? Every day you should wake up, you should feel proud of who you are, and I think that's just beautiful. But we do have a specific month for it, which is good. We put more information, put more emphasis on it this month, and more importantly, the companies, the corporations, they know that we're being proud this month. So they can be proud with us, or proud for us, or, you know, just give us fun things to do. Give us a nice coloured vodka bottle, you know. Change their profile picture to a flag, a rainbow one. But if you're on Twitter, if you're a corporation, if you have a region-specific Twitter profile where maybe gays aren't treated that well by law there, maybe queer people are persecuted, you don't have to change it. You don't have to be that dedicated, you know. I saw Miss Bethesda Games doing that, their Middle Eastern account and their Russian account, conspicuously Pride flagless. So, you know, I'm on to you. I'm doing some investigative journalism, Bethesda. So that's It's a Gay Area for you. Pride Month is our investigative journalism month, and we will be exposing corporations all month long. So you have four shows of that to look forward to. But we do have a fun show tonight. Luckily, Ruby will be here with us in spirit. She did do an interview with a wonderful, wonderful... It's a great thing to kick off Pride Month with, in my humble opinion. She did a fantastic interview with Sydney-based rapper and producer BVT, so we're going to listen to that a bit later. But, you know, in the meantime, we're going to listen to some music, because who doesn't like music? And what a great way to kick off Pride Month with music. And, you know, I think that's beautiful. And I'm going to keep saying that throughout the show until you also think it's beautiful. So we're going to start off with a new song by King Princess, which is called House Burned Down. So this is House Burned Down by King Princess, and you are listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. And thank you very much for tuning in on this lovely Friday afternoon / evening. It is very cold, so I hope you are rugged up. But you know who's not? King Princess, because her house is burning down, and this is that song. Me down to see her land. And I'm the type of bitch running to my next heartbreak. But you still pull me around to see what it'll take. Oh, oh, oh. And I'm just waiting for the stars to burn down.
Dude, But something's pulling me away from you. Jesus is my virtue, and Judas is the demon I cling to.
Fun was that? Wowee. That was Judas by Big Frida from the Born This Way 10th anniversary reimagined. So, I don't know. I love Big Frida. I love Lady Gaga. It's been 10 years since Born This Way came out. Why not listen to Judas again by Big Frida? You know, just makes sense. Welcome back to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. My name is Patrick. Now, we're about to get into our interview for this evening. So, just in time for Pride Month, Sydney gay and lesbian Mardi Gras is launching their new event, which is, you know what? They're launching their new event, which is the Mardi Gras Pride Weekender, taking place over the Friday the 18th to Sunday, Saturday the 19th June on 2021 at iconic Sydney venue, the Metro Theatre. My co-host Ruby Innes took the time to chat with Sydney-based rapper and producer BVT, who will be performing at the event with Alex the Astronaut, Hope D, Nick Navy and the No Frills Twins. So we're going to give a quick listen to that now.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Bernie.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So you released your debut single, Spend Some Time, mid last year. What kind of went into the creation of that track?
Oh, well, basically, it was during COVID lockdown and I was listening to a lot of Doja Cat and Billie Eilish. And I just kind of was like, you know what? I wonder what it would sound like if those two got on a track together and just made a love child song. And that was partially it sonically. In terms of like production elements in the approach, but I also was wanting to just sort of bring in and normalize queer experiences in commercial sounding music, because, you know, we're stepping towards it and getting better as we go, but we're seeing it a lot with international artists and whatnot. And I feel like, you know, coming out of Australia, we're still a bit young on those approaches to music and bringing that to the mainstream. So that's essentially where I wanted to be. I was like, you know what? I need to, if I'm going to tell the truth in my music and I'm going to express myself through my art, then I may as well be honest and not be ashamed of myself and my experiences being a queer artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you've also played as foyer entertainment for acts like, you know, Pink, Jason Derulo, Macklemore. How do you think these kind of performances, I guess, have shaped you as an artist?
Oh, you've done your research.
I have done my research.
I love it. Look, doing those sorts of gigs, they came from an organization called the Talent Development Project, or TDP, and they were sort of like doorway opportunities for me to figure out who I was as an artist and where I stood with music in general. And that sort of just kind of gave me the opportunity to open up and blossom as a young artist at the time. But I would say, you know, it's been a long, long, long journey since then. And I've been thankful to grow and change since the beginning.
Yeah, of course. And so like, as well as your, you know, kind of many artistic endeavors, you've also been recently exploring drag. What's that been like?
Well, funny that you mention it. I've got a drag show coming up on June 11th at the Giant Dwarf Theatre. And it's an all POC lineup. So usually we'd have Big Rod or Laura Hart, shout out to you, who's the coordinator of the Drag Kings hosting, but they've stepped aside to let me host and perform it at the next show just to, you know, create space for people of color and queer people of color, especially. So I'm thankful for that. But yeah, I fell into drag accidentally. So not many people know this, but the drag kings reached out to me and said, hey, would you like to do a segment at the next drag show that we've got coming up? This was, I think, April this year or no, last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. I mean, I'd love to. They're like, yeah, maybe you can do some beatboxing and just come on board. I'd be like, yeah, great. So I agreed to it. And then I saw on the Instagram I was tagged and it said, cast announcement, BVT will be dragging it up for our next show. And I went, wait, what? And I'd never done drag before, anything like that. I'd never been exposed to drag kings before. I'd only known drag queens, really. And so I went back through our DMs and I was like trying to desperately be like, when did I say I would drag? And then I totally misread the whole entire thing. And they said, you know, I should have seen the signs. They were like, yeah, asking me what my drag name was. And I just thought it was maybe something that they wanted me to play into as part of the show.
Yeah, like,
and
damn,
thought I was
crazy.
Coming in as intermission.
My name's BVT.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, I don't really have a drag name. I'm usually BVT when I perform. They're like, yeah, great. That's perfect. I went, oh, okay, cool. And next thing I know, I'm falling into drag and I'm falling in love with drag. And it's just really opened me up to new experiences and new ways of expressing my gender and also just expressing my sexuality, I guess, and finding a new avenue to just identify in within the queer community, which is something I've kind of struggled with in the past.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, what's your experience kind of been like delving into like the hip hop and R&B genre as a queer person of color?
I'm glad you asked that question. I feel like, you know, sorry to mention the Big Bad Wolf, but Kanye was probably the first ever hip hop artist to go on air officially and say, hey, and he risked his career for this. He was like, because he was barely anyone at that point. But he said, hey, I just want to come on here and say, like, you know, in hip hop, there's a lot of people just being homophobic and throwing around that F word and so carefree. And I'm just here to say, like, stop, don't do it. Don't do it anymore. Like, you would think that almost the opposite of hip hop was being gay or the opposite of hip hop, the word itself was gay. And so like that on its own was a revolutionary thing to see, but it didn't skyrocket as much as I think the queer community would have wanted. But, you know, I'm just trying to come in here as an artist and as a person of color in the genre I love so, so much, but can't defend because it does have a history of, you know, homophobia and transphobia and, you know, so I'm trying to rewrite that history, not necessarily rewrite that history, but write a new history on it, like now, because the present is going to inevitably become the past. And if I'm going to do something with my music and with myself, I want to make my younger self proud. I want to be able to look back on it and be like, okay, yeah, cool. You did something that mattered to you and hopefully to someone else. And that's part of the reason why, you know, the next few projects that I'm going to be bringing out are going to be throwing back to like the era of 2000s, the golden era of hip hop and R&B, but I'm bringing representation to queer folk in that genre because we didn't have it growing up. We didn't get the iconic love songs. We didn't get the hard hitting cool stuff and like just a random normal experience of someone just being queer, you know, or trans or anything in hip hop. So that's kind of my mission at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. You see so many kind of like, you're seeing so many huge artists now, like Lil Nas X and Brockhampton and Tyler, the Creator even now, and Big Frida, yada, yada. So many of them in the hip hop genre kind of being out and proud. Do you feel like Australia kind of has some catching up to do though?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, if I could cuss on here, I would, just to like bring the
you can if you want to, absolutely,
mate. Bring out the inner bogan in me. Yeah, seriously, I think that there's also the issue of queer baiting still going on, both on our land and in, you know, foreign countries as well, especially in America, because, like, let's face it, America basically runs the international music ring.
Yeah,
it's like we're starting to see more representation over there, but I feel like Australia is behind, and I don't know if it's because in comparison to other countries with how we've developed and everything, that maybe we're just younger. And so our ideals are backwards still a little bit. But then again, we have social media, we have the internet now. Everything's the like literally living in the future, you know, like a second is now a millisecond of change. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't really feel like we have an excuse to be behind on this shit. Like, I think local artists like Jamaz on Mars is doing brilliant things. And, you know, my mate Aya Eves, who had the courage to actually come out at the last Express Yourself showcase, and to be like welcomed by the community so well. But, you know, I know multiple other people who are still sitting on the fence as to whether or not they should explore their sexuality in their music, because they're still scared of how the industry will treat them, if they'll be marketable, or if, you know, society will welcome them, or if they'll fall into the queer niche and not be able to go into other brackets. And, you know, I've even had that contemplation myself, living in Australia as a queer person doing hip hop and R&B. I'm like, oh, am I going to fall into, you know, are they going to push me into this box where it's like, okay, you can sell to the queer people and they'll listen to you and you'll be queer hip hop, but you can't come over here and you can't play with us over here. Like, I don't want that. And I don't think anyone really wants that. Everyone wants to feel welcomed by everyone, you know? So that's kind of where I'm at on my little ramble there.
Oh no, it's a very true ramble. Absolutely. I mean, like, we hear it, you know, it's a gay area. Like, our thing is, we, you know, cover queer artists because, you know, they need that exposure and they deserve it. But at the same time, like, it does fucking suck because you're seeing so many incredible artists who just so happen to be queer kind of being pushed into this box of like, you make queer music and
yeah,
you can't venture past that. And, you know, queer music isn't bad. In fact, it's fucking fantastic. But like,
it is fantastic.
It's also, you know, it's not fair to these artists that kind of like, that's what.
Yeah, because they're fucking talented, you know. I know so many artists that are just fucking talented and they work their asses off living for the shared dream of wanting to be like an international success and doing all of this stuff and being able to have like a sustainable income from music on a global scale. Like, let's be real, artists, we're selfish like that. We want it all, but you know, that's the key. We want it all. We don't just want to sit in one bracket. And I think that's so like, and what I'm about to say right now, I don't want it to be misunderstood. Like, I think, we all, you know, having labels and having our community and everything is amazing because people feel safe, you know, they want to feel seen and validated. And that's why some of us choose labels and everything, just so that, you know, we're letting everyone know we're here. And I appreciate that. And I fuck with that heavy. For me personally, I choose the label queer because it's the furthest thing away I can get from a label, but still let other people know what's up, that I'm not a straighty 180 and like, you know, I'm a little bit bent and, you know, I'm inside full of color, but, you know, I personally don't want to be just put into a label. I don't want to just be put into a box. And that's partially some of the music that I'm going to be bringing out this year. And next year is just about breaking free and like saying no to the gatekeepers and just being like, no, fuck you. You're not opening the door for me. That's fine. I'm making my own space, and this is what I want in it.
Yeah, amen. Sheffield? Now, last but certainly not least, tell us a bit about your upcoming performance at Mardi Gras Pride Weekender.
Yo, first of all, can we just, like, take a moment to appreciate how fucking cool that is? Like, what an event.
Oh, yeah, it is huge. Oh,
massive. Shout out to every single artist that is performing or has performed. Y'all are the best. What do you want to know, man? Because, like, I'm just pumped for it. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, playing with what, Alex the Astronaut, Hope D, Nick Navy, No Frills Twins. That's huge. That is huge.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, massive. Basically, what I want to know, you know, it's a little bit of a plug time, basically. Like, when is it? Ooh, where is it? How can people get on it?
All right. So, it will be on the 18th of June, and we are going to be kicking off at 7 p.m. Our headliner is Alex the Astronaut. I will also be there dropping some brand new music that no one's ever heard before. I think only my partner and co-producer have actually heard it, which is going to be epic. The location will be, let me just remember this for 1 second. I'm so bad at this. I just go, yep, I'm going in. And then I'm like, yeah, that's where it's going to be. Okay.
Yeah,
and then at the Metro Theatre.
Yeah, dope.
And I believe we're performing in the Metro Theatre. Is it not the first Pride event that they've had in a long time?
Oh, yeah. Because of COVID.
So it's going to be huge. Anyone listening to this right now, I hope you have FOMO and that you get your tickets, because honestly, no, seriously, this is a massive deal, and it's the Pride Weekender. You're going to actually see more than just brilliant musicians tearing it up on stage. You're going to have, like, you know, drag stories and history and education, and there's going to be representation to the tits, like to the roof on this. So please get your tickets ASAP. I would love to see you there. I would love to actually make some new friends. And you know what? I'm going to say it. Free promotion, right?
Yeah.
Free hug for everyone who comes up to me and says, I specifically got a ticket because you asked me to and I want a free hug. I will get you a hug.
God,
I'll hug you like you're my soulmate.
It. Well, Bernie, thank you so much for joining us today on the show. And yeah, good fucking luck.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate you having me.
And that was my lovely co-host Ruby chatting with Sydney-based rapper and producer BVT about their upcoming performance as part of the Mardi Gras Pride Weekender, which is taking place over the Friday the 18th to Saturday the 19th of June. For more info, you can head over to www.mardigras.org.au. And you know what, babes? That's about all the time we have tonight. I'm so sorry. Long interview. Good interview. It was good. I hope you were listening. I was listening. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in again. This has been It's a Gay Area with me, your host, Patrick Clancy, and your host in spirit, the beautiful Ruby Innes. And we're going to leave you now with a last song, which is, I don't know, it's a bit relevant right now. It's called I Miss the Club by Kweku Sanderson and Dayburger. So goodbye for now, and we'll see you out there next week. Bye.
I'm gonna shake my ass. I'm gonna shake my ass.